Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
DinnerBellCorinth.com has the best food in Corinth, Mississippi. Awarded best salad bar, best steakhouse, best overall restaurant, and best lunch and dinner under $10. You can't beat it. For delicious food at affordable prices, order online. Visit DinnerBellCorinth.com.
Fans from every SEC school and beyond. The latest morning headlines and sports talk hosts that call it like they see it. Welcome to the People's Sports Talk Show. Contact the guys at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. Now, here's today's edition of Mississippi Sports Today.
Indeed, we are back for a new week here on this October 7th. Live from the Surf Pro Studio, Mississippi Sports Today, presented by Tupelo Coca-Cola, featuring two-thirds of our Tuesday host team. Stacy Jo Rollins, unavailable today, a little under the weather. Hope she's okay. But with us, the official, OJD, Johnny Davis, in the house. Morning to you, my brother.
Good morning. What's left of me's here?
Yes, you and my good friend Brian Rigby from Surf Pro of Tupelo. Morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
I spent the last 5 minutes listening to you two old men compare your ailments. Goodness, Graham, surprised either of you able to be here.
And that's coming from a guy that's got a 5-foot Band-Aid on his right arm.
He's a bleeder.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a free bleeder.
He's a bleeder.
Well, when you got dogs, man, dogs jump on you, and next thing you know, you're covered in blood. But blood, sweat, and tears here today, my friends. We're glad you're with us. So join us on the Elite Realty text line at 331-2508. Lots going on. It's homecoming week for several area schools, including Itawamba Thursday. They'll take on Kahoma, and big day of activities over there. We'll find out more about that, and we'll have a conversation with Coach Travis Macon on Thursday morning. Tomorrow, Tupelo is holding, as I understand it, Brian, the homecoming parade. I imagine you have something to do with that.
I don't this year.
You don't?
That's news to me.
It's a first.
It's on Wednesday.
That is a first.
They had to move it
because of the Travis Tritt show on Thursday.
Oh,
okay. Typically, they would do it on Thursday, but it's going to be a bit of a mess down there with that concert. So, as I understand it, tomorrow, downtown Tupelo, the Tupelo homecoming parade before they meet South Haven, their first division game on the blue turf Friday night. I was at the game this past Friday, Hartfield Academy. Tupelo, another slow start. I don't know if you watched the game, Brian. I know you were out of town. Uncharacteristic of that offense not being able to get going. 7-0 at half. And I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, it's the third week in a row, Greg. You're spot on with a slow start for Tupelo. Defense got off to a little better start this past week than they did the previous 2 weeks. But, it's you can look at that as being problematic, or you can look at it as, hey, we still won two out of those three games that we had slow starts. And that's good. And so – but I think that's something that Coach Ty and that staff will be focused on. Is how do we come out and set the tone early like we have in previous games?
And got the opening kickoff, a fumble, got the ball down, and played most of the first half in Hartfield territory. Mm-hmm. And those big home run hitters in Jaden Hill and Kylan Bobo, I believe finished Bobo with 227. And, Johnny, it was just one of those things where they wore Hartfield down in those third and fourth quarters, and then they popped those big ones.
Yeah. Yeah, that I've heard a lot of people talk. I hadn't gotten the opportunity to see Tupelo play, but heard a lot of people say that they got the kind of offense that just wears on you, and I'm sure it does, you know. And to Brian's point, you got to be proud of your defense. It's keeping you in those ball games that you can't get the offense started as fast.
And I think we're seeing a little bit of – everybody gets up for Tupelo now.
Yeah.
But because of, had won whatever, 18 straight or whatever it was, and you're, reigning state champions of 7A, and you got a lot of power forward D1 players on that team. So it's not hard to get your team up to play Tupelo, and Tupelo's seeing the challenges of being good.
Yeah, everybody's best shot. You're going to get it. All right, let's go to the text line, 331-2508. How can you justify the stun Alabama pulled the final 30 seconds of the game against Vandy? You had the beat already. Set up in victory formation. Take the knee. Get the win. No. No. They set up in victory formation instead of taking a knee. And the game run it on the lap for a TD. Huh. And for why? Other than to double Vandy's score, that's extremely unsportsmanlike conduct. Then again, Alabama has and always will get special treatment, says this listener who apparently was waiting on this opportunity to vent this.
Steve Spurrier and Bobby Hall both said, it's not my job to stop me. So that's all I can say.
Yeah, and in this day and age of college football,
yeah,
that score looks much better. Yeah. And, you know, Bama is trying to come off of that first loss of the year against Florida State, and they look bad. But if that score could mean the difference in making the playoffs and not making the playoffs.
Style points, that's what they talk about. You know, they if like Brian said, if it makes a difference in going and not going.
Yeah, and they covered the number as well.
Yeah.
So that matters. But. Yeah. All right, and a note here from – it did. Yeah, it did. A note here from Alan. Oh, Alan reminds us – oh, I'd forgotten all about this, gentlemen. On last week, we had several conversations about the upcoming games, and Alan reminds us, hey, gang, Craig, you were right on the Gators.
Oh, yeah.
Florida. Oh, was I? Now, well, let's just go back to make sure. This is last week, Tuesday on the show. We're going to go back day by day from last week. I don't know who put this together, Brian. But yeah. Here's this time last week, three of us were sitting here with Stacy. Texas at Florida. Give me the Gators. I mean, this is the swamp. I haven't seen Texas prove anything against any value opponent.
Oh, here comes the smart guy.
If you will.
They're going to blow them out.
Okay. I'll ride that train.
All right. Oh, okay. Stacy got on that train with you.
Yeah.
How sweet. This is Wednesday. Got to go down to Florida and face a defense the likes of which he's not even seen. Ohio State, maybe, but maybe they're not even as good as Florida defensively.
No, smart. Yeah.
Owen.
Florida again, doubling down on Florida.
Thursday.
About the SEC matchups, very little juice there. We did sprinkle earlier in the week on Tuesday, I believe it was, Florida, to upset the Longhorns.
Oh, really?
Here's a smart guy.
I'm saying it here.
Friday, sitting with two smart guys down to Chevy Place.
None of you have any faith in the Gators. Not a single 14 Texas picks. Come on.
I know you like the Gators, but, man, that branch is not very strong.
Oh, yeah?
Stick with my
– well, stick with it.
Was it Tuesday? Yeah. So with that, Owen, hit me, Gators.
Owen didn't even want to sprinkle.
Anybody want to get on the bus with me?
Oh.
Sprinkle button was
anybody.
Hot.
I mean.
Oh.
I tried. All 14 of you picked Texas.
Yep.
Now what are we going to do? Because they're back on the pick sheet. Pick six sheet, Johnny.
Yeah.
Some of you, the other would apply to.
Capture that.
Pick six sheet. This week versus Oklahoma and Dallas, the Cotton Bowl. You guys still a believer?
They don't play Oklahoma this week.
They do.
Texas and Oklahoma play.
Texas?
Yeah, he's talking about Texas.
Oh, Red River. I thought you were talking about Florida.
No, Red River.
Well, you were so focused on Florida, you distracted me.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. I didn't believe in Texas last week. I don't believe in them this week.
Yeah, I don't know about Oklahoma without Mateer. Maybe so.
The Longhorns are a favorite in the game.
That's surprising to me.
There were a few who jumped on the Florida sprinkle last week, some of our listeners, some of our more intelligent listeners, and then there were you guys. But, hey, it is what it is.
If you'll go back and listen to the podcast last Tuesday, I said it would not surprise me if Florida beat Texas and if Florida's defense could possibly score or be responsible for just as many points as their offense.
Yeah,
I didn't see Florida scoring, 29?
No. And made it look so easy from the very first drive down the field. I thought, man.
And it goes to again, you start looking at Texas from top to bottom. offensive struggled. Offensive line has underperformed all year. And we've said, well, their defense is good. Is it?
No. It wasn't Saturday.
They're good against FCS schools, group of fives, and so forth.
Texas has zero Power Four wins.
Yep.
You know who else has zero Power Four wins?
Penn State.
Penn State. Penn State.
Boy, was how that the mighty not, have fallen.
Was that Penn State thing not awful?
They fell to a winless
UCLA. Not only a winless, they hadn't even been competitive.
And, well, oh, boy, we were high on these teams, and I'm glad I got company in this in the failure bucket when I picked Clemson as a contender. Nah. And then there were those. Penn State's got the best roster they've ever had. Nah. And then, boy, it was all – everybody was all over. Who else? Texas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were preseason number one.
Numero uno.
They're not even in the top 25 this week.
Give me.
And Penn State either.
What are we doing?
And Texas' schedule is not.
No.
I mean, they're still in the SEC, but it's not as tough as a lot of others.
No.
Right.
Mississippi State going to give them a game, boys.
They could have an additional two losses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Ricky from Aberdeen, you were right, Ricky. I saw you sprinkle Friday. Way to go, Ricky. Good job. Say hello today at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. Let's look at the Southeastern Conference across the board so far after 6 weeks. SEC has a record of 60-22, a 732 winning percentage. That's the best of any conference, best of any out of like 10 conferences across college football. Strength of schedule, first of all conferences, and simple rating system, also first among all conferences. They are now, I believe last week, there were 16 unbeatens.
Sounds right.
This week, in the Power Four, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Just Power Fours. 11 unbeatens remain. Two from the Big 12, BYU and Texas Tech. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Hmm? Three from the Big 10, Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon. Who's Indiana play this weekend? Well, I know Ohio State has Illinois.
Yeah.
That's in Champaign. Altmaier.
Yeah. No. Ohio
Brian,
State.
Brian's shaking his head. No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm going to listen to y'all.
Ohio State is not giving up a rushing touchdown.
That's right. All year.
ACC has two undefeated teams for me. I think most of us, if you would have said, hey, Georgia Tech's one of them.
No.
You got a crook eye. Nope, they are. Miami the other. What an impressive win. I thought that game would be closer. Miami.
Yeah.
Miami, hey, this boy, this Carson Beck boy.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, we all were.
I just didn't see that. But he's.
Ooh, we wrote him off.
But, you know, he's got a lot better offensive line.
I just going to say, it makes a lot of difference when you see some of these quarterbacks go behind that kind of line.
They go a long way with that kid. Long way.
Yeah, the kid that left, Amelie Ava, that left and went to UCLA, that line that's in front of him is, even though they won this week, it's pitiful.
Yeah. Southeastern Conference has four, most of any Power Four, undefeated teams. That would be Ole Miss, Texas A&M, someone would have said, these are the four unbeatens.
No.
Halfway through, here we are, someone said Ole Miss, A&M, Missouri, and Oklahoma. Again, you would have had them medicated.
Right. Right.
Yeah. All right. This coming weekend, Mississippi State, of course, coming off a tough one. Brian, this is the kind of game this kills you as a fan because first and second down, and Jeff Libby has already spoken to this.
Yeah.
It was a negative play, no yards, just never got off on those important downs.
And Brian said all along this year about Mississippi State that Levy's found a way to run the football, which made his offense work. They just didn't run the football that well.
No, and, you know, they've had some
injuries
on that offensive front, and that's hurt them. But, yeah, you know, in that style of offense, when you get behind the chains on first down, that's, like, detrimental.
Yeah.
And the other nemesis to that style of offense if you're not getting some first downs because you're going so fast,
yeah, defense,
man, does it put a lot of pressure on your defense. And that's what we saw later in that game. You know, for State, they were tired and gave up some points toward the end of the game, and because that game was a lot closer than the score showed. But, you know, and that's just what you see. And but, you know, I was thinking about Texas A&M's defense. Their last 2 weeks against Mississippi State and Auburn, there's just something about this defense. Mm-hmm. They don't look flashy. Are they efficient at getting off the field on third downs?
Yeah.
I think I saw a stat like Auburn and State were like 1 of 27 on third downs the last 2 weeks.
That's probably right.
So what is it about this A&M defense that is so good and so efficient against really good offensive-minded coaches in Hugh Freeze and Jeff Lebby?
Yeah, they're getting a lot of pressure. They're not getting that many sacks, but they're getting a lot of pressure. Shapen was everything he did was under pressure when he wasn't getting sacked.
That may be the best front seven.
It could be.
You know, a very good A&M team, much improved under Mike Kelko. I mean, if you get, and that's just positive. You got to be Mississippi State played a very good team, and for two quarters, you know, held their own defensively, especially. So we'll see if they can use this bye week and then a trip to Gainesville. They're having a special event down at Davis Wade Stadium for Palmer Home, a tailgate event on the Saturday of the Florida game. Of course, that's a road trip for the Bulldogs, but you don't have to leave Starkville to go enjoy a tailgate and help out Palmer Home. Wanted to mention that. And we'll have more on that as we approach October 18th. Let's go back to the text line. Boy, we got a lot of traffic today. My buddy D says, hello, said, did they bring you donuts for your sprinkles? Nope, they did not. Johnny? Phone call?
Yeah.
So, something you need to take?
Text.
Okay. That was a text?
Yeah.
Good gracious. Brian, shut Johnny's phone up.
No, I'm going to turn it off.
Swamp is in the house. Good to hear from you. Our good friend Swamp said there's only one Gator on this show. DJ Lagway, SEC Offensive Player of the Week. Told you all before the season, Lagway's better than Arch. His uncles couldn't save him from the Swamp. Go Gators. We'll see what happens when we go to College Station this Saturday. Goodness gracious. Okay, yes.
I'll make a prediction. You're talking about undefeated teams in the SEC. After this week, there will be no more than two in the SEC. Texas A&M, Missouri, Oklahoma, two of those teams will lose this week.
That could happen.
Florida could beat A&M.
Possible.
Alabama could beat Missouri.
Oh, I think.
And Texas can beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, but
I think we lose one. I think Alabama wins.
I'm not so sure Alabama's going to win.
Alabama,
2 of 3 will.
Alabama's come a long
way from
early.
We have put Missouri on the curb all season. And look at their numbers. Oklahoma. At Texas, oh, my gosh, this could be a good weekend, gentlemen. And I believe you. Florida goes up with the momentum. Who knows? And Ole Miss, a decided favorite, of course, against Washington State Cougars. So we'll see.
And this week we'll find out if can Alabama stop the run. You'll find out this week.
I'm right.
Because they've got to stop the run against Missouri.
And the leading rusher in the league.
I tell you, that will be a focus all week in the Alabama camp.
Heck yeah. Back to the text line. It says Trey Petty, also from Starkville, is a redshirt freshman at Illinois. Good nugget. Thank you. Your boy Jackson Dart didn't look so hot yesterday. Sunday, rather. You know who did, though? Dak. Swamp. Well, yeah, Dak was playing the Jets. I wouldn't put him in the Pro Bowl. After that, then yes, Jackson Dart found out what the NFL is kind of like.
Yeah.
Baptism by fire. One of the really good games in the NFL on Sunday.
Yeah.
And some comebacks. There were several teams that came back from double-digit deficit. And I watched the entirety of the Bucks versus the Seahawks, and that was a great football. But I'm telling you, Baker Mayfield.
He's a player.
That,
gamer.
Dude, man. I was going nuts. I was texting my friend Jeff Olson, mayor of New Albany. He's a Bucks season ticket holder, by the way, I think.
Wow.
And back and forth. And Baker Mayfield is one of the best quarterbacks, if not, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the league right now. Just saying. Well, yeah, what a game that was. How about last night? What the Jags raped to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Chiefs?
You see that last touchdown?
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence scored, and he fell down twice before he ran it in. And Chris Jones just absolutely quit.
Whiffed on it.
He just quit. He just stood there and watched it.
Yeah, it was an interesting game last night. And NFL always going to give you. There were some upsets. I mean, the Broncos, you know, they knock off
The
Eagles.
Yeah.
Bills, you know, there's I don't know, there's not an unbeaten team in the NFL after 5 weeks.
Did you notice last
several
night?
Several 4-1s.
Yeah.
In the Chiefs' first touchdown they scored, there was a flag.
Yep.
For pass, basically offensive pass interference.
Yep.
And you had Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and several other superstars from the Chiefs come over and coach those refs up, and the refs picked up the flag.
That's right.
Damn well.
Yeah.
That's the life of a showgirl, Brian.
Yeah. Now, I think I watched a lot of college ball Saturday, and I don't ever remember seeing as many penalties in ball games that I didn't have any horse in the race, so I'm not complaining about it. But I just think sometimes, you know, just too many.
Yeah, a lot in the Tupelo game Friday night. That game would have lasted an hour and 10 minutes total had it not been for the third quarter. It was just full of, you know, penalties, yeah. Flags on both sides. So, interesting. Okay. This coming weekend, we're going to look at those games. We have some juice on the pick six sheet as we approach another football week of Vibra before we know it. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Hit us up, 331-2508. Back with the OJD and Brian Rigby right after this timeout.
Vehicles, low prices, and a trustworthy dealership to do business with.
The Blightman family has been serving North Mississippi area for 40 years with a commitment to quality, great value, and customer care. With a family name that's been built on the foundations of honesty, transparency, and a customer-focused mentality, you will receive the best car buying experience when you shop at Dwayne Blightman Chevrolet.
Come experience the Blackman difference at Dwayne Blackman Chevrolet, home of the top-notch vehicles at rock-bottom prices.
Mr. Booth, I tried to phone you today, but the message said you have no service.
Yes, I'm having the same problem a lot of my business friends are having in the Corinth area. Our phone system shut down, and there's no one to work on it.
Sounds like a job for ASI.
ASI?
ASI got us up and running at a much better deal, and we're discovering new ways to communicate with our clients like you.
New ways? ASI sounds like just the service I need.
You need ASI. ASI 662-534-4987 or go to asitelecom.com.
It's Bobby Bascom from Automedic. Bobby, when you say we speak the language, what does that mean?
Just that, Craig. We speak foreign imports language, specializing in BMW, Mercedes, Audi, Lexus.
So you speak Lexus?
Wadasta tuani hango hanes mas.
I think you played for the Dodgers.
Translation? We speak your Japanese imports language, and we're local, so there's no need to drive to the dealer. Automedic, 3552 Jeff Homan Boulevard in Tupelo. Reach us at 844-9379. We speak the language at Automedic.
We're back, and just getting warmed up. Now, here's sports talk from the fans' perspective on Mississippi Sports Today.
Well, glad you're aboard on this Tuesday. Can't believe we're a week into the month of October already and 6 weeks into the college football season. Crazy. Very excited about this coming week. And we just got word that we are good to go on ICC. Cool. We'll be there on campus Thursday with head coach Travis Macon and other, I'm sure, good friends, Dr. Jay Allen and others from ICC for their homecoming. So we're very excited about the show being there on Thursday. Stacy says, I'd love to hear your – hey, Stacy, we miss you today, girl.
Yep.
Love to hear you guys' thoughts on Memphis being in the top 25. Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's another team we discounted.
Yeah, and that's going to be a race with Memphis and Tulane, somebody else. Who else?
It's a good league.
Yeah. It is a good league.
Yeah. This season.
And if I'm – I think Brian might have said something about this the other day. Somebody did. If I'm Arkansas, I'm taking a hard look at this coach at Memphis.
Yeah. He's going to be on the hot board of anybody looking for a head coach. I think you have to – because if you think about a lot of the coaches that's come through Memphis, I mean, it's a breeding ground for big-time coaches.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Memphis, just a thought here. Now, Navy, by the way, in the American, is also 5-0. But Memphis is 6-0, as Stacy said. They're ranked 23rd. They have scored 243 points. That leads, by a long shot, the American Conference. And they've only given up 97. That's second in the league in points allowed.
What? Who they got?
They are dominating, my friend, the Memphis Tigers.
You got their schedule up?
I do, Johnny. Thanks for asking. At UAB, who has struggled.
Yeah.
This Saturday. UAB is 2-3 on the season. Memphis a 95% chance of winning. Okay. Mm-hmm. They do have South Florida week after.
Yeah, that's the other one that I was
thinking
about.
That's the good one. South Florida, by the way. Also a force to be reckoned with. The Bulls are 4-1.
Yep.
But Memphis already a favorite in that game. So impressed.
Yeah.
Keep it up, Memphis.
Memphis is kind of the same boat as Ole Miss is this week. Stay healthy. You got big games coming up.
Yeah.
Don't look ahead.
Right.
You know who else is undefeated in the American? The Mean Green of North Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who knew? They're 5-0.
Yeah, there's another coach that's going to be on the hot board, too.
And they play, by the way, against South Florida Friday night. The Bulls, a 1.5-point road favorite at North Texas. That's a juicy game that I have listed here on some of the – because we begin tomorrow night, actually, Wednesday night football. Ought to be in a couple of pretty good matchups on Wednesday night. 6:30 tomorrow night, Missouri State, a 2.5-point favorite at Middle Tennessee. And then at 7, my Flames at UTEP. Liberty, a 1.5-point favorite. Those games tomorrow night. Then on Thursday, a good one. East Carolina at Tulane. Mm-hmm. Green Wave, a 6.5-point favorite. Friday, we mentioned South Florida at North Texas. Here's a couple. You know, Dan Mullen's still unbeaten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan Mullen's a 6.5-point favorite, hosting a very good Air Force team this Saturday. Also, one that I thought, Iowa State. How many of you guys had Iowa State to beat Cincinnati?
I had Cincinnati.
There was only two, I think.
Me and Cheddar, the only one had Cincinnati.
Yeah. Nobody believed.
Yeah.
Cincinnati. Iowa State's 2.5-point favorite at Colorado. I think this is the beginning of the end for Coach Prime, y'all.
The health issues,
the fact that his sons are already gone, the fact that, you know, they're not going to be a relevant program.
No.
And I'm just sort of seeing the writing on the wall there. Could be wrong. But let's look at our SEC matchups, if you guys will. From this Saturday, we start. Pretty good game to get us going at 11, right? Alabama's moved up to number 8, 3.5-point favorite at 14th-ranked Missouri.
This could be a monumental win for Alabama, and that's crazy to think.
Yeah. Beating Missouri would
that
be.
That you talk about their opponent, Missouri. Yeah. And the, you know, it can make a lot of people have already forgotten about the loss to Florida State.
Yeah.
And people wanting to run the boar out of town. This could be a monumental win for their season this year because, I mean, they've got the momentum and, you know, Ryan Williams is back and looks
– Simpson's playing better than he has all year.
Defense is playing better.
The O-line's incredible.
Yeah.
Simpson has more time than anybody I've seen this season.
Yeah.
He's a statue back there.
He's even said that himself in post-game, you know.
It's incredible. And – you know, when you're Alabama and your best two wins, should they get by Missouri Vandy and Missouri are your best wins, and you're look to be back. I mean, we'll see, but I think Missouri's going to get them. I believe Missouri will win this game on Saturday.
It's a very, very challenging football game for Alabama.
It is.
On the road.
Yeah. I agree. That's a hard place to play.
Hit me, Owen. Missouri. This game we're in Tuscaloosa would be a different story, but you didn't listen last week.
I'm not listening this week.
What are you going to say, John?
Alabama.
Go ahead. I'm taping this.
Taping it. Where's the tape?
Yeah.
I got it rolling over here, pal. I'm taping you, Johnny. Washington State at Ole Miss at an odd kick time, 11:45. Okay, Rebels 32.5-point favorite. And the over-under is 59.5. Now, Washington State, by the way, has given up 59 points in two different games this season against not exactly stout Power 4 competition. To say that the over-under is – I'm going over – if you don't mind, since they've given up 59 in a couple of games. Give me a over me, Owen.
I can't argue with that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Finally, we agree.
Yeah. That's like Brian said, that the objective this week is stay healthy and not overlook that kind of opponent and stay healthy.
The Cougars. Yeah. Austin Simmons, Brian, your thoughts on what we may see this weekend?
Man, it's just, you know, it's just a tough place for a coach to be right now. You got a young quarterback in Austin Simmons who's battled an injury all year. You bring your number two guy off the bench who's number four in the Heisman race right now. I know it's early to talk about that. So, you know, you want to, as a coach, you're probably wanting to ride the hot hand. But, man, you don't want this – really good, talented quarterback and Austin Simmons to hit the portal. So you're trying to keep everybody happy, but your responsibility is about winning.
Yeah, and one luxury that Coach Kiffin and the staff there have got in this situation is Austin Simmons is not going to go in the draft. He'll be draft eligible, but he's not going to be drafted high enough, if at all. So he's going to make more money playing college football next year than he could in the NFL, you know. So if you can keep him happy enough to come back to Ole Miss, he knows he would be the man again next year, I think, because Chambliss is finished after this year. But that's a tough situation, you know.
I think Austin Simmons is different in that he's a graduate, a 19-year-old graduate, and seems to have priorities other than just the payday.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Don't know him personally. But just think that maybe there's more to him, maturity-wise, to him to go, right? Then again, these players are after –
he said all the right things so far.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I just want to point this out. What makes Ole Miss's offense click and good right now is the getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands.
Yep.
The intermediate throws and the ability to move the pocket and escape the pocket quickly. And those things that makes Ole Miss's offense good is Austin Simmons' weakness.
That's true.
He's got the arm strength.
Yep.
And, you know, he's of great talent, but he can't move the pocket. He doesn't have the quickness to get out of the pocket quickly. And the short, intermediate touch passes, that's not his forte.
No, that's absolutely right.
All right, another listener said hello and asked about where Mississippi State will get two more wins, or can they? What do you think about Mullen back in the SEC, freeze to Arkansas, Mullen to Auburn? If Alabama loses again, they fire DeBoer, Kiffin to Bama. This is a domino effect here. Lots of predictions. And, yes, it will eventually the Memphis coach for Ole Miss. Well, yeah, that's a lot of dominoes to fall. But, yes, in terms of Mississippi State winning two more games after this week, as we said, they will travel to Gainesville and take on a team that we may see a switch come on What you don't need to see if you're Mississippi State is which come on for the Gators, who will be in College Station this weekend. Then they have Texas in Starkville. All of a sudden, I'm giving them a chance in this game.
Which game? Texas?
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Starkville. I mean.
Yeah. If they get healthy and don't get hurt in the Florida game too much with the right people.
Agreed. I mean, we're going to be a little pie in the sky, but still. Then Arkansas and Fayetteville. We don't know what Arkansas is going to be in 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
I think this week tells us a lot.
Yeah.
How do they respond against Tennessee?
Yeah.
Georgia and Starkville and Missouri and Columbia before the Egg Bowl. Woo. I agree. Finding two with that lineup, yes, considering where some of those road games are, you really wish they were at home, right?
I would say Arkansas is the
most gettable.
Yeah, I'm going to put them in the lead.
Yeah.
Two, Texas. And then three, I hate to say this, but could be Ole Miss.
Could be.
Just because it's Egg Bowl.
Yeah. Always something. Always something there.
Florida would be fourth.
A note here, Borky. I was with Borky on Friday night doing the games. He says he thinks Mullen could end up at Wisconsin. What are y'all's thoughts? Well, they're certainly disgruntled. We have a resident Wisconsin fan who would take anybody over Luke Fickell right now, would he not? Missouri will win. Sprinkle it. One of our friends saying hello. D, appreciate you. I agree. Ralph. Not putting a square peg in a round hole. He's trying to park in a F-150 in a shoebox. Agreed, I think.
Who?
What are we talking about?
Ralph.
Is that the former quarterback at Mississippi
State? Talking about Chris Ralph? Yeah. I'm not sure. Okay. All right. Say hello this morning, whatever your thoughts, at 331-2508. Let's go back to the lineup for this weekend, a game that we've not mentioned. At 3:15 Saturday, Arkansas. Oh, well, you did touch on this a minute. At Tennessee, let's see if the Petrino effect will affect the Hogs and how that they may get ugly. That may be, it may be 35-3.
It could be. You know, you've got a new defensive staff, basically.
Yeah, and I've seen some things coming out of their camp about some of their players that weren't happy because they were close to some of those defensive guys that Petrino got rid of.
Yeah, it could be a sinking ship. And the over, under, the total on this game, 69.5. I believe Tennessee is going to be up in the 40s.
Could be.
Most likely. We'll see on Saturday in Knoxville. And then at 6, I think a very juicy matchup. And based on Texas A&M, and then being at College Station, 7.5-point favorite hosting Florida. So the odds makers saw a little something in Florida this past weekend, apparently.
Yeah, but what if it turns out to be the Florida that went to LSU?
Yeah, this is going to be a slobber knocker under the 47.5, I think.
Because if we see the Florida team we did last year and the way they responded, one thing that Florida's got is defense.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't look for Texas A&M to be able to run the ball near as well as they have all year.
Yeah.
That's going to put more pressure on the passing game. So.
Yeah, and that hadn't been great.
Can Reed throw the football?
Yeah.
I think in order for Texas A&M to win this game, especially the cover, this line, Reed's going to have to do it with his feet.
I agree. And they've already said they're trying to make a pocket passer more out of him, you know, just last week, and that's not his game.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a very close game.
Could be.
And way down there under the 47.5, this would be, this might be a 2017 or something like that. All right, a listener says, I could be wrong. I just don't see Kiffin leaving Ole Miss unless it's for another attempt at the NFL. I believe you are right, and I don't believe he wants any part of the NFL. Based on his previous experience, seems happy where he is. I agree.
Yeah, a lot of coaches. At what's made things a lot different is the NIL and the portal thing. It's huge because, you know, before, if coaches wanted to go and pick their players and pay them and all, they had to go to the NFL. Not now.
Here's another with a low total at 6:30 on Saturday night, the 19th-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. That sounds funny saying that. 19th-ranked yeah. Georgia Bulldogs, 3.5-point favorites on the Plains, Brian. You feeling it?
You know, Auburn having an off week last week, I think it's going to help them this week.
Hugh always wins one he's not supposed to.
Yeah, and you know, you look at Auburn, they're good on defense this year. And I think that if you give Hugh Freeze enough time, he in the game planning, offensively, he can get enough to beat Georgia. And so playing at home, this is going to be a really good game. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure on this Auburn coaching staff. They've basically been said, hey,
yeah,
it's you win 8 games
yeah,
or you call a moving company.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen. And we skipped one, I believe. 2:30, Oklahoma and Texas.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. We did.
I would say this. I believe that Coach Sark, this will be a week he will have to put in major overtime to figure out a way to find a way to win a football game on Saturday against Oklahoma. There's a lot of pressure on that staff, too.
Yeah, that program has got tremendous pressure, period. They start off number one preseason. Manning's a Heisman candidate, you know, and got the best odds for it.
But I think you're seeing some people now start talking about, hey, when do we make a move at quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
We've got to do something different.
Yep.
But most people are watching Texas football right now are saying, hey, it doesn't matter who we have back here. We could get one of, you know, Arch's uncles in their prime.
Yeah.
If you don't have time to throw the football.
That's right. That's right.
And we talked about this in the preseason. Sark has a history of mediocrity at best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every stop.
Yeah.
Think about it. Everywhere he's gone, it's been, well, they got to, he's the Bill O'Brien of this league.
Yeah.
But I think he's, for some reason, I like Texas this week. I think he finds a way to alleviate some pressure off of Arch Manning, and he knows he's got to do that. And I think that they come up with a game plan this week that they can get it, you know, they can get it done.
Hey, I just want to go back to Auburn for a second because this schedule shapes up pretty nicely if you're Auburn. You're talking about them needing 8 wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
This week, Georgia at home. Next week, Missouri at home. Then they go to Arkansas. Then they have Kentucky at home. Then they go play Vandy in Nashville. Off week because you need one for Mercer on the 22nd, and then they play Alabama in the Iron Bowl on the Plains.
What does Mark say?
I don't know. Crazy things happen. I don't know. Auburn.
They could
run the table here. Because I do believe they're going to give Georgia all they want. And we're in the land of parity. We're in the land of dog eat dog, even more so than previously in the cannibalism in the SEC, are we not?
But it'd be just like Freeze to beat Georgia and lose to Vandy or Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, he always loses one he's not supposed to.
Yeah, you got a point. You got a point. Also, we have South Carolina at 11th-ranked LSU. I found this line a little interesting. Tigers only a 9.5-point favorite. And, of course, they get the night game in Baton Rouge.
Of course.
How convenient.
Of course.
How convenient.
Ole Miss did get a break with Georgia game being at 2:30.
Yeah. I look for LSU to win big this week.
Me too.
That defense is so fast and plays so good. And I don't think that South Carolina's got the defense that they can keep LSU out of the end zone often enough.
No. That could get ugly as well. We may have a couple of show enough boat races.
Could be.
With this Tennessee-Arkansas game, this LSU-South Carolina. I don't know, gentlemen. It's going to be a fun week. Let's look at our pick six games, and we will begin with a very interesting matchup. Southern Miss, Golden Eagles, 3-2, coming off a big win this past weekend at Georgia Southern. Eagles, a slight favorite in the game, I believe 2.5 points.
Yeah.
That's a Thursday night matchup.
Yeah.
Boys, looking forward. Alabama at Missouri. I put it on because I think we'll be split.
Yeah. I just can't get – I know it's not the same Missouri that it has been in the past, but, you know.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Oklahoma at Texas. Had to put it on there. Red River, right?
That could go either way.
This is basically a home game for – but not – I mean, Cotton Bowl, Dallas?
Yeah.
It'll be 50-50.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I just wonder what the line would be if Oklahoma had their starting quarterback.
If Mateer was playing, I believe Oklahoma would be favored
very
big,
much.
Pretty big.
Here's one. Charlie Kenny's Iowa Hawkeyes versus Chad Chatterman's Wisconsin Badgers. Iowa, I believe, a slight favorite in this game. But yeah. I had to put it on the list.
I'll take the under.
Yeah. Total on this one's 12.5.
12. Yeah.
Still going under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look for a 5-3 matchup or something like that. Like a baseball score. Michigan at USC. How about that one? Hey, Big 10 flavor there. And then Georgia at Auburn. I put it on here because I believe Auburn has a chance to win this game. Yes, it's going to be a fun week. We'll be out of Buffalo Wild Wings, of course, on Friday with our friends and getting you set for the weekend with a great lunch as well. Busy week. ICC Thursday, Blackman Chevrolet, and, of course, B-Dubs on Friday. All right, let's do this. Head back to this day, October 7th. The year was. Nobody?
1916. Georgia Tech, coached by John Heisman, defeats Cumberland. Do what?
Yep.
Cumberland.
That's
222
to nothing.
That's not a misprint, Brian.
The most lopsided score in the history of college football. Always has been, always will be.
Where's that texter that was upset about Alabama scoring them?
Yeah. 222 to zip. Stop me if you can. What was the total in that one?
I took the over. 1984, Walter Payton passes Jim Brown as the NFL's career rushing leader.
Yeah, I remember that day.
Sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Mississippi products.
Yeah.
All right, here's one.
1985, Lynette Woodard is chosen as the first woman in the Harlem Globetrotters.
Didn't remember that. Wow, 20. Yeah.
How'd she spin the ball with her nails?
Good question.
She might not have had that.
She was a player, though. She's really good.
Yeah. 2012, New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees breaks Johnny Unitas' NFL record for consecutive games with a touchdown pass, which was 48. That's a lot of games in a row to throw a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know if we fully appreciate Drew Brees, how good he was.
Yeah.
He was the guy that had all of the throws from every angle.
Yep.
But prior to
he also was a guy that knew when it was time to go to the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the great Drew Brees. I'm glad he made our list today. It was a cool thing. Hey, a couple of notes here. In the MLB Division Series, I hope you're watching. Last night, the Dodgers handled the Phillies. Philly made a comeback, almost got him, but the Dodgers now have a 2-0 lead and look to be in command of that series, as well as the Brewers. Cheddar's Brewers are beating up on the Cubs, lead that series 2-0. They'll resume tomorrow. All four games will be played tomorrow, but only two today. Seattle at Detroit, that series tied one game apiece. That's 3:08 this afternoon. And tonight, Toronto can eliminate the New York Yankees. 7:08 start. Toronto leads the best of 5, 2-0. So we'll have something there. How about Kai Meeks over the weekend, boys?
Yeah, shout out to Kai. It sort of feels funny to see him on television and then the day or two before you see him out at the country club, you know. He's a really nice guy.
Nice kid. And in his PGA debut, tied for 38th and made himself $25,500 at 10 under.
Hmm. Yeah, he had a pretty good year up in Canada for two or three tournaments.
Yeah. All right. Hayden Buckley tied for 55th at the Sandersons this past weekend to earn $13,860. Chad Ramey and Michael Lasasso you may have heard, Miss the Cuts. Interesting. We got a big golf tournament today out at Tupelo National just after lunch today for our Boy Scouts. Always a great tournament. Very excited about being out there, and hope we'll see a few of you out there today. Hopefully the rain will hold off, and we'll enjoy a big day out there with the Boy Scouts. Tenderfoot Classic, I believe.
I think that's right. It's what it used to be.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. All right. Hey, what about this Mark Sanchez business?
Oh, that's crazy, isn't it?
Tell me about it.
Have you not heard?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Mark Sanchez, covering the game for CBS as an analyst, former NFL quarterback, famous for the butt fumble.
Yep.
Apparently, in a dispute outside an Indianapolis bar with a truck driver over a parking space, a 69-year-old truck driver.
Yeah, the guy was delivering, and Sanchez was telling him he couldn't park there.
Something about being in the alley.
Yeah.
He and Mark Sanchez got into it. I mean, it's straight up fight. All right? Guy ends up spraying Mark Sanchez with pepper spray. And then stabs him multiple times. This guy, though, got the worst of it, the older guy.
Yeah.
You would expect that. Mark Sanchez, like 38 years old.
Yeah. I'm 69. I don't want to wrestle with him.
Scrapping with a former.
38 years
right.
old.
Mark Sanchez is a big dude.
Yeah.
Apparently he was wasted, beats this guy to a pulp, sends him to the hospital. Mark Sanchez stumbling around on the streets of Indy with a knife wound in his chest, and now facing felony battery charges for some pretty serious injuries, and a lawsuit has already been announced. What in the world?
Yeah, and they upgraded it to a level 5 felony or
something.
This could
be 6 years maximum in prison. I don't know. How do things escalate to that? It's an old dude. It's a parking spot. You're Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
The way you described it, I didn't know any details, but it sounded like it was a pretty fair fight. The guy had a pepper spray and a knife. I'm not sure how Mark Sanchez is.
Had he not had it, I don't know if the guy would have lived had he not had it.
No.
I don't know. They say there's video out there. It's just terrible.
Keep your knife in your pocket and maybe it don't get as bad.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. Yeah. This is one of those news stories that you go, how in the world that things like that take place? Well, it's sports. All right. Well, tomorrow we will be joined by Frank Dodds as well as Tom Massengill and head coach Trent Hammond of the TCPS Eagles. They got a big road trip coming up on Thursday night. We'll have that for you. And, of course, you can hit us up tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day, y'all.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.